So good to see you. Thank you for being here. I appreciate the men who've been commenting and conducting the Lord's Supper part of our worship. You're doing such a great job in helping us think about different things and important things. And I want to say I appreciate that. And thank you for that good work. And we anticipate it will continue as others do that. Branding is quite popular today. Here are a couple of definitions of branding that I brought for us to take a look at. A name, design, or symbol that identifies one seller's goods or service as distinct from those of another seller. Or to brand something is when a company or person makes descriptive communication that describes what a company stands for. Now, I think there's probably a better and easier way to think about branding, and that is to give a few examples. So here's an example. And this is the brand for Apple. There are no words in these. This is a brand for McDonald's. And this one is for Nike. So these people who have formed these brands have been highly successful. They've done it without any words. May I ask, when it comes to you and Jesus, what is your branding? How are you known? What do you communicate? Do you communicate, I'm a human being, or I'm a decent person, or I'm a good servant? I hope all of us want to be seen a good servant of Christ Jesus. And Paul helps us with that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, from which I want to direct our study this morning. 3 weeks ago, I preached from Jesus' letter to Laodicea, reminding us to light the fire of our love and devotion to the Lord. Last Sunday, Tim reminded us from Nehemiah of the need and the place for revival, to revive our faith and our faithfulness. With these ideas in mind and heart today, I want to talk about some specific and personal matters that will serve to further define our faith and communicate our branding. You know, how we present ourselves is one thing, but who we really are is really our brand. Let me tell you a little story. Don Zahorski is an old cattle breeder. He's been in the business of registered Angus cattle for decades. You can ride around the pastures with Don, and he'll tell you the parentage of every animal. He's invested his life in breeding the best registered Angus cows. He's never once thought about business brands, about emotional experiences, or about logos. But what he has thought a lot about and cares a lot about is his reputation and the service he provides his buyers. He brands his bulls with a DZ, his own initials, on the right hip. Everybody who is around him knows that brand, and they know Don. They know that brand means this is a good bull. Now here's the lesson. It's not the brand that makes the bull valuable. It's Don's reputation and his work that makes the bull valuable. The brand is just a way of showing it. So, to put this brand out there that we are a good servant of Jesus Christ does not make us the servants we need to be. Only our lives can do that. And I want to read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, to see some things that must be going on in our lives. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who's the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of the elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing this you will both save yourself and your hearers. Now Paul is writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy. He calls him at the beginning of this letter a true child in the faith, chapter 1, verse 2. In another letter, in Philippians, he refers to Timothy and says about him that I have no one like him who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. So Paul knew Timothy. He knew his background. He knew his story. He knew his character. And he gave this young man some tough assignments, confident that he would be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And so in our paragraph that we just read, Paul writes Timothy about his branding. No, he didn't use the term, but he had something close to this concept in mind. He says, if you do this, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. He also mentions in this paragraph some training that Timothy was involved in. He said, training in the words of faith, and he says, train yourself to godliness. And Paul urges him in this. He said, labor and strive in these things. And what I want us to notice this morning is that Paul was not general. He mentioned some specific areas that need attention and action. And attention to these areas will guide us to being what we can be and what we all hope we will be, good servants of Jesus Christ. Do you want to be a good servant of Jesus Christ? Then here are some things we have to give attention to. Number one, watch your example. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, love, faith, and purity. Paul himself was careful about his example. He was serious about his example, and he was not afraid to tell people to imitate him, but only as he did what? Imitated Jesus. As an apostle, he wrote many instructions. He set down all kinds of principles for people to follow. But he did not set them down only. He set them down and he followed them himself. I'm impressed with 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, where he said, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos. He encouraged people to imitate him, but he didn't do that in any arrogant way. He did it in a way because he seriously followed Jesus. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Being a solid example is not a show. It's not what we're just pretending to be. It's not all the time what we intend to be. It is what we really are. Let me ask you, do you want to hear the Lord one day say, well done, good and faithful servant? I want to hear that. Then I have to be that today and every day. That's the only way it's going to happen. And I think we must remember that leadership for Christians is not lordship. We lead by example, not by force. We lead gently and we lead humbly. And might I add, we lead comprehensively. We lead in all areas of our life. Look at what Paul says in speech. He says you lead in speech, in conduct, in love, faith, and purity. That's comprehensive. A good place to start this is what you do in your own home. Be a good example at home. Parents, let's be an example to our children in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And children, be an example to your siblings in your home in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And I have a feeling that's going to keep most of us busy for quite some time. People will not despise your youth when they admire your example. To be a good servant of Jesus Christ begins with the way you talk. It involves how you walk, what you love, and how you live, what you believe, and how you practice. There's an old saying that I've heard a lot, and it's true. The way you practice is the way you play. Those little boys who play Little League baseball, and they're out in the outfield picking four-leaf clovers. They did that in practice, so they're doing that in the game. The way you practice it, the way you play. Any of us can put on a show for a time, but how we conduct ourselves in everyday mundane matters is what makes the difference. That's how we're a good example. Be a good servant of Jesus Christ in every day, in every way matters. So you have to watch your example and make it a solid example, because it's real, not pretended. And it's not just intended, but it's what's happening in your life. Number two, be careful about your sources. Let me explain. 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Now, everybody knows today we live in a world where we have a glut of information. It's available to us, but it is not all good. The internet is good, and the internet is not good. If you haven't learned that you can find anything and everything on the internet, I'm informing you now that that's the case. It's not all good. Most of us have learned, and all of us need to learn, that the internet is not a reliable source of information. And along this line, through social media, people can say anything and everything, and they do. But seeing it there or putting it there does not make it true or reliable or good. Paul has better advice. Now, I asked Susan about this point. Did I just sound like an old man who's out of touch? She said no. So what I've said is true. But here's what Paul's advice is. Devote yourself to the reading of Scripture. And that makes you ready to exhort and to teach. Paul taught Timothy, look at what he says, command and teach these things. Well, what things? Things that Paul had taught him. Well, who was Paul? He was an apostle, a special representative of Jesus. It's significant that Timothy was not out there coming up with his own stuff. He was not following popular trends that amount to people saying, I think this or I feel that. He was to read the Scripture, and from his reading of Scripture, do his work. If there is a tendency today to move away from Scripture, it's misguided and it's wrong. Our teaching and serving are to be guided, solidly guided and motivated by God's Word. It's that which gives substance and authority to what we do. We must be clear to desire and demand what the Bible says. It's not what I think, what I feel, what I wish, but it's lessons and conclusions that are Scripture-based and Scripture-driven. And I want to say to us, this is not the opportunity and responsibility of preachers and teachers only. It's the responsibility of everybody who would be a servant of Jesus Christ. Be careful about your sources. Read the Scriptures and let it mold your heart and make your will so that you'll be God's true servant for Jesus Christ. Number three, use your gift. Verse 14. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders lay their hands on you. Timothy had a gift. In 2 Timothy, Paul calls the gift the gift of God. And Paul urges him in chapter 1, verse 6 of 2 Timothy to fan it into flame. We don't know what the gift was because we're not told. And I think we had to leave it in that place. It appears to have been related to his ministry. The gift was connected to prophecy in some way, and it involved the laying on of hands by Paul and by elders, maybe to support his work and to authorize his work. But we don't know what it was for sure, so anything beyond that would be speculation. So I'm not going to speculate about that because that will detract from the critical matter. And here's the critical matter. Whatever the gift was, Timothy was to use it and not neglect it. He was to fan it into flame. So I want to make this point, and I want to make it applicable to our time. We have to remember that all gifts in the New Testament were not miraculous. Some were, but not all. Some were, and I hesitate to use this word, but by means of contrast, I'll use it. Some were ordinary, meaning they were not miraculous. In Romans 12, for example, you read about the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, exhorting, and giving. And there are other such gifts. They're far from ordinary. They're just not miraculous. And every Christian doesn't necessarily have a gift. Some do and some don't. But the gifts that are out there are to be used carefully, zealously, and responsibly for the good of the whole, for the good of the cause of Jesus. You know what happens too often? We allow gifts to be crowded out. You know, we have a lot of things going. We're busy. We have opportunities in a lot of different areas, and we allow it to be crowded out. Or we allow our gift to be overshadowed because maybe it's not ours. Maybe it's somebody else's. And maybe we're kind of disgruntled that we don't have the gift we want. Instead, we should find the gifts in whoever's life they're in and rejoice over that and help them fan it into flame and use it for the good of the cause of Jesus Christ. If it isn't ours, be encouraging to those who have the gifts. Be thankful for them and use them to God's glory. Remember, the cause is his. It is not ours. Being a good servant means finding the gifts and fanning them into flame to be used for the glory of God. There are all sorts of opportunities, talents, resources that people have. And we need to rejoice in that and use it and not neglect it, because those gifts are for the good of the cause of our Lord. Number four, finally, perseverance and progress. Verse 13, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will both save yourself and your hearers. So he referred to Timothy's example, then the source of his teaching, and the gift he was to use. And now he continues on to the basic principles of concentration and consistency. Concentration and consistency. These matters that we're talking about are easy to neglect or overlook, so we have to concentrate on them. One version of this verse says, make these matters your business. Make them your absorbing interest. The English Standard Version says, immerse yourself in them. That second phrase in this sentence sounds like today's lingo. Literally, it is to be in them. So, can and will you get into these things? That's the way people would say it today. Can you get into them? Our lives as Christians are to be dynamic, not static. Our lives are to be progressive, not stand still. Others should see not only who we are, but what we are becoming, because we're moving, and we're moving in a certain direction, onward and upward. But we need to be careful, because this can take some bad turns. Notice that Paul writes about progress, by which he means forward moving. and not being revolutionary. The progress is not being different. It is not being new for the sake of being new, but is moving onward and upward. I want to revisit 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. I mentioned it a moment ago. 4, verse 6. Paul said, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. So the progress is not to be revolutionary, but it's to move on to make progress. Second warning I want to say is, when he writes about progress, he's not writing about perfection. We're on the road, but we have an awareness and an admission that we've not arrived. And we don't have to arrive until all is said and done. Paul says about his own course, Philippians 3, verse 12. And this relates to what Jim was brought to our attention today. He says, I want to gain Christ and know him and know the power of his resurrection. And then he says, not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. That's where we need to find ourselves. Pressing on, concentration, and consistency. Take a good look at those words that Paul uses. Practice, persist, and progress. This isn't a temporary fix. It's not a superficial decision. A good servant of Jesus Christ has to be in this for the long haul, for a lifetime. Difficulties will develop? Yes. Problems will arise? Yes. And as they do, we'll deal with them. But a good servant is in. He's all in with commitment, decision, and devotion. The way he lives and thinks and serves. And when we're in that way, progress will follow. But remember, the progress is God's business. Paul says, I plant, Apollos waters. What does God do? He gives the increase. So let's let him do that in his way. You know, there are a lot of things that we can be in this world. We live in a world of such opportunity and blessings. And some of this is kind of overshadowed by all this stuff that's going on now, but we still live in a world of opportunity and blessing. But there's nothing better, and there's nothing more needed than for people of Casterbury Church to be good servants of Jesus Christ. We need to light the fire. We need to be revived to be good servants of Jesus Christ. We need an example that's solid, that other people can appreciate and admire. We need sources that are God's and not the world's, his word. We need to use whatever we have to his glory, energetically, and make progress in the faith, that we're moving onward and upward. To be a good servant of Jesus Christ. I want us to celebrate that this morning with a song. As we sing this song, we're going to use this song as an invitation and opportunity. If we can help you become a servant or become a more faithful servant, we'll do that. But with most of us, I think this song would just be confirmation and commitment that yes, that's what I want to be and do. I want to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing at this time.